Jesus paid the price for forgiveness. See, I grew up, I was an angry young man. And I had a right to be angry with all that had happened to me. But you know, Jesus bought forgiveness. And it wasn't just for me. It was so I could forgive those who had sinned and trespassed against me. And that set me free. Because I could walk away from that hurt and that pain and realize that my Father set me free and that He loves me. And I'm telling you tonight, if you need a hug from the Father tonight, the Father who loves you with a perfect love, reach your hands out to heaven and receive a hug from your Father tonight. I don't care what your history was. He made a way for you to have victory, and He made a way for you to be free from all of it. We all have a past. We all come from different places. I said once before from here that, you know, some people, you know, I've seen it. I've been around for a while. Some people have harder lives than others. I don't really know why. But, man, when God starts to show you and unveil His love for you, none of it matters. None of that matters anymore. You can be free in Him. You can be free from all that hurt, all that pain. Oh, they did me so wrong. I never think about that anymore. When the song came on, the Father's arms open wide, I did think, just for a flash of a second. But what I thought was, it's so good that I have a Father that don't reject me, a Father who loves me, a Father who won't call me names, a Father who's on my side, a Father who's for me and loves me. And He loves them too. He paid for their sin. He forgives them. It's up to them to receive His forgiveness. I don't hold it again. If God can forgive them, I forgive them. Because it's for my behalf, it's for my benefit to let it go. Forgive them. Leave it in the past. Let it lie. Oh my. You know, there's hidden hurts in the church. And God doesn't want people hurting. God doesn't want people hurting. He wants you free. And if he can display His love through me, then God bless Him. Do it. Lord, do what you need to do. Display Your love through me. If I can say one word that will set one person free, that will help one person see that forgiveness is the key to being set free. We've all been hurt in life somewhere along the way. I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful for where I stand today. I am so thankful for where I stand today. I mean, I dare say I've probably been through things that a lot of the world has never even seen today. Hurtful, very painful, hurtful things in my childhood. Things that should never have been. But I am delivered from all that. I am set free from it. I'm set free from it. And I don't hold it against them. Because I learned that we have an enemy. And the enemy comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10:10. John, I want to make sure that I put that in the right order because there's a reason why it's in order. Everything in the Bible is in the proper place and it's in order. I just want to set my eyes on John 10:10. Now I know why they wear the lapel, because they can turn the pages of their Bible faster. But I'm thinking, you know, I'd like to get one of them little clip-ons. Because the lapel and my ear, they don't get along. And I have a hard time with the thing. But if I could get a little clip-on here that goes like right here and they could adjust the sound, that I think I need to look into that. I think I like that idea better than the lapel thing. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus said, I have come. Thank you, Cheryl. And Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. There's worse things. Listen, I'm not preaching death here, but I'm going to say there is worse things than death. Look at the order of that. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. 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 You know, if he destroys you, he can use you to take out others. He can use you to hurt others. We've all been hurt. Like I said, my childhood. If God hadn't had his hand on me, there may have never been a way out of that. But like I said a few weeks ago, I remember sitting in that apple tree and I was singing that little song. And God was looking over me. He was watching over me. I saw things that a child should never see. Blood, guns, incest, the list goes on, folks. It wasn't pretty. But I never thought about it. And it don't bother me now. I'm just sharing this because there's some people that need a hug from Daddy. A God who will never talk bad about them. A God who won't ever practice evil around them. Your eyes won't have to see those things because of the way you stand with your Heavenly Father. See, the devil was trying to take us out, destroy us. He wanted to destroy my brothers and sisters. Oh, God, I pray for them. I pray for them a lot. I got one especially, man. He is so caught up in sadness and just hate, anger, and hurt. He throws me out of his house at least once or twice a year, doesn't he? But I just keep praying for him. You know, I love him. He doesn't know it. He doesn't see love like we, the church, get to see it. We get to see the love of God because we come to him. That's all you got to do is come to him. He'll reveal himself to you. You just come to him, and he'll show you who he is. He's the God of love. I had no idea I was going to even talk about that, but I just, you know, I hope this message is heard by more men in the church, because I'm a man and I know how hurt I was as a young man. My father figure was pitiful. And that followed me through my life until I came to Jesus Christ. My relationships were messed up. I was just functioning in the earth, you know. Really going nowhere fast, just functioning. You know, alive yet dead, I guess, if you can say it that way. Spirit man was, because I didn't get saved. And well, we went to Baptist church when I was a child. And things were so messed up at home, I can't say that I remember what we were taught in that little Baptist church. But I know that we were always sent up on Sunday afternoon. Mom was doing the best she could with what she was dealing with. She was doing the best she could with what she was dealing with. So we went to church. We did not go to church. We went to Sunday school. Sunday school was always before church. Sunday school got out at 10 o'clock. We only had to go to Sunday school, then we could go back home. But I don't remember, honestly, if I gave my heart to the Lord back then. I don't know. But I know at 35 years old, I'm 57 today, 35 years old, I had nowhere else to turn. And I mean, you don't have to come in the way I did. But for me, I didn't have anywhere else to turn. Things were messed up, and they were messed up good. Or messed up bad, I guess. And when I went to church, when I first went to church at 35, it was a little church called Hosanna. And it was in Ashland, New Hampshire. And I went into that church, folks, and I wept the first Sunday. I wept the second Sunday. I wept the third Sunday. I wept for 6 months, every single week, every time I walked in those doors. And I finally said to the Lord, Lord, I am really getting embarrassed here. I got to stop weeping every time I come into these doors. But I had so much pain that he was healing me of. So much hurt. Things that should have never been, but somebody had to go through the gate. Somebody had to move the stones. You know, my older sister has gotten saved since I've been born again. My mom and dad got saved since I've been born again. My sister Susan got saved since I was born again. Tina got saved since I was born again. David is, well, he believes in God. He believes in Jesus. God's working on it. But the one who I'm really struggling with is Danny. Because he's so angry. And he blames God. He blames people. He blames everything around him. Everybody's out to get him. They're not. They're not out to get him. We love him. And we're believing that he's coming in and that God's got a call on his life. And he can resist it and resist it, but we're going to keep praying and praying. Praise the Lord. I did study. I had time to study, so I'm just following the Holy Ghost tonight. Because of the Father's love for each and every one of us, he knows we've all been through stuff. And he loves us so much. It was never his intention for us to go through what we went through. It wasn't his intention. It's the devil that comes to do that stuff. And unless you know this word and you know your authority, it's hard to see through it all. You can't see through it, so you're just angry. Because I can't see it. I don't know why all this happens. I don't understand any of this. Why I'm in so much pain? Why did so much bad things happen? Because we have an enemy. But you really don't come to know that you have an enemy until you come to know that you have a Heavenly Father that loves you. And then you learn more about your enemy and how he works. Oh, glory to God. And I wasn't really sure tonight. I had two things that I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about your words, and I wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit. So I'm like, Lord, how is this going to work? Because there's different scriptures for both topics. But what I do want to share is Acts 5:32. Acts and 5:32. Listen, I listen to my CDs, and I'm thank you, Josh. I'm learning. Keep that microphone up there, or you ain't going to hear what you're saying on the CD later on. Thank you. Acts 5:32. Need some more room up here. Okay. Well, you're all there before me, but, you know, you can go ahead and get familiar with it and get ready. Acts 5 and 32. Okay. And we are his witnesses. We are his witnesses. We're all his witnesses. We are his witnesses. And we are his witnesses to these things. What things? The crucifixion, the life of Jesus, the power to heal, the power to forgive. So we are his witnesses to these things. And also is the Holy Spirit. Whom God has given to those who obey him. Those who obey him. If you're not, no one here, please. No one here. I've seen a lot since I've been saved. And honestly, I can say no one here with all my heart. But I've seen people that don't obey him, and they're being led around by a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. It's a deceiving spirit. It's a spirit that is sent to keep them from coming to the true Holy Spirit, from the true light and the true. Nobody in here, please, don't ever think that I'm, it's not. But I've seen a lot of things over the years. And you talk. It's your words. You know, I can talk up a good story. Can I back up what I'm saying? And you're going to need the help of the Holy Spirit to back up some of the stuff you say. Because some of the stuff can be a challenge. Paul said, I got to buffet my flesh. I got to take, you know, flesh, you know, you're saying these things. You better be walking in them. People, you know, the world's looking. Everyone's watching. The world's watching. So he gives the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And 1 Samuel 15, please, 22 and 23. 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. There it is. So Samuel said, in case you don't know, but I believe most everyone in here knows we're all students of the word. Samuel was a prophet in the Old Testament. And there was three offices in the Old Testament, the prophet, the king, and the priest. Those are the ones that God ministered through in the Old Testament. Samuel was a prophet. So God spoke to Samuel and through Samuel, because he was a prophet. And so that's who he was. He says, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? If you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're not going to go there. But it starts out saying, well, even though I can speak in tongues and I can prophesy and, you know, and I can move mountains, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So even though I give my body to be burned and I give all of my goods and everything, it profits me nothing. Why? Am I obeying the voice of the Lord? And you want to know his voice? This is his voice. And I'm going to show you that in a few minutes. That this is his voice. But I got kind of an order. I'm going to try to get through this really quickly tonight. So has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than that of the fat of rams. And you know, he's talking about the burnt offerings and stuff that the children did as a shadow of things to come because Jesus was the Lamb of God from the foundation of the earth. Everything in the Old Testament was foreshadowing Jesus and his coming to the earth, that we needed a Savior. So that's what it's talking about in the burnt offerings there. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Well, what does that got to do with me? Oh, Samuel. He was talking to Saul. What's that got to do with me? Well, let me tell you what it got to do with you, with me. Does Jesus not call us kings and priests unto the Lord, unto the Most High God? Does he not say in Proverbs, it's not for you, Lemuel, it's not for you to drink intoxicating wine and strong drink. It's not for kings and priests. Listen, that's a touchy subject in a lot of the church. And you know what? It don't matter to me. I see it in the Word, and I'm doing my best to buffet my flesh like Paul did. Because I want to be a good servant to my God. My God has taken me out of so much. And I am indebted to my Heavenly Father. And I love it. It's a great experience. It's a great ride. The water's fine. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying life with God. So obey. You know, if I got a citation, I haven't gotten citations in a long, 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 long time. When I was a teenager, I had a few. But I haven't gotten a citation in a long, long time. But if I got a citation for every time I was out of the will of God, I don't know where I'd put them all. And I don't always mean to do it. It's just I got to allow God to adjust me, adjust my love walk, adjust how I treat other people. I got to allow him to adjust, because every time I treat somebody wrong, citation, I got my closet, I can't even close the door anymore because I got citations because I wasn't doing it right. Listen, it's time for the church to start doing it right. Stop being mad at one another. Stop letting frustration. Listen, Smith Wigglesworth has a, and it's not just a story, it's true. Smith wasn't a man that went around and lied. I mean, he raised many people from the dead. I mean, if he says something, I tend to believe what he said. But he had seen this hat at this shop over in London, and he really liked this hat. And he didn't have the money for it right away. He saved up the money to get this hat that he really liked. And he bought the hat, and he was walking across the Golden Gate Bridge. And a big wind came up and blew that brand new hat that he'd been saving for a long time over the bridge and down into the water. He never gave frustration a chance. He just kept walking with his head up high. He didn't get angry. He didn't get frustrated. He didn't allow the devil to operate in his life by getting mad over something that he couldn't control. He didn't allow the devil any space in his head. I'm just keep walking. You know, it's gone. The man walked in some things that I wouldn't mind walking in. I know that much, so I got a purpose in my heart to please God. WWPG, what would please God? So, in Luke 21, we know that it says that the kingdom of God does not come with observation, but the kingdom of God is within us. What does the kingdom of God look like? God, I want to be a good representation of what that looks like. Because everything is in here. But I got to get it out here where people see it. So that they can be drawn to the church, to be drawn to the family of God. If I'm not walking in love and being a good representation of who he is, then chances are people ain't going to want to come to this church. People ain't going to want to come hear a pastor preach. We got to be good representations of who God is. And we got to get our flesh in line with God's word. Our spirit man should rise up and take authority over our flesh man. There's going to be things that you don't like in life, all along life. They just come up. How you learn to deal with those things, or how you learn to not let those things get on you. Fiery darts. Put on the whole armor of God. They're just fiery darts. It's not flesh and blood that we're warring against. Ephesians 6:10. But it's the principalities and the rules of darkness behind it. When I was a child, it was principalities and rules of darkness. But that family, for generations before the generation that I grew up in, was in the same mess they were in. And the one before that was in the same mess they were in. And I can be so thankful to my Heavenly Father God, because my girls never had to see or experience any of that stuff. Praise God, because God had his hand on my life, and I'm so thankful that he did. So the kingdom of God is within us, and we want to be good representations of that kingdom. John 14, please. And this is where I was going to show you that I was going to show you that this is the word of God. This is the voice of God. Let's go over to Luke 11 first, and then we'll jump right back to John. Luke 11:9-13, please. Luke 11:9-13. Okay, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. I didn't get up here because I knocked on the door one time. I didn't get up here because I sought the Lord one time. This has become my lifestyle. I read as much as I can. I'm a contractor. I work a lot of hours. But I got tapes playing. I've got the Bible on CD. I've got something going all the time. Because you can't get enough word. You can't. You can't exhaust it, and you can't get enough of it. You know, we talked about you're digging the well, and you're giving the Holy Spirit something to draw from. But you're doing the labor part of it. You're doing the work part of it. The first miracle was to get them full of the word. That's the first miracle. How do you get the word in them? The first miracle is, you got to get the word in them. Because once the word's in them, that gives the Holy Spirit something to draw from. You know, how many people out there in the world are not reading the word? So the Holy Spirit don't have anything to draw from. You know, they're living by the wisdom of the world, which is coming to naught. It's passing away. This is the wisdom that lasts forever and ever and ever. The wisdom of God. It goes on to say, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, would he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You know, these songs that I picked out tonight is to not only to take me close. I love these worship songs. Not only to get me closer to God and in his presence and in the secret place, but to invite you all to come in too. Because you got two sets of ears. You got these ones on your head, and then you got the ears of your spirit. And when you hear with Jesus said, it's all throughout the Gospels, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, we've heard pastors, well, they all had ears. What was he talking about? It was the ears of their heart. The ears of their heart. So the Holy Spirit, he gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. But you notice how that follows, keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to find out who we are. I could say it this way. God wants to introduce us to ourselves. He wants us to know who we are in Christ. So back to John 14, please. And we'll start in verse 15. John 14, and we'll start in verse 15. And I've only got a couple more scriptures, so we're going to make it. Now, can we back up to verse 12, please? Because it's good. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, faith comes by hearing. Careful what you're hearing. With the same measure you meet, it'll be measured back to you again. Be careful what you're hearing. Don't be hearing trash, junk, talk. You know, television's full of sex and who knows what. Just backstabbing, violent, just hurtful things. It's full of it. I don't watch it, but, you know, you see some of the stinking commercials when you're trying to watch a football game or something like that, and it's such garbage. It just, like, ugh. And I think it comes to a point when your spirit man, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, your spirit man gets grieved when it sees, you know, when you're putting all your effort into walk with the Father and please him, you know, what grieves God's going to grieve you, you know. And it grieves me when other people just, they take to those shows and they, I can't miss this show. And it's like, that's the worst place in the world you could ever get anything from is from some of those shows that are on that television these days. Because faith cometh by hearing. You don't, be careful what you hear. So most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, obey me. Oh, wait a minute. Let's keep my commandments. But couldn't you say obey me? Couldn't you say the same thing? If you love me, obey me. And Acts 5:32 gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. John 15:16, and I will pray the Father, because 15 says, if you obey me and keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And if we went back, we're not going to go there. If we went back to Luke, everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, it will be opened unto him. That's why the world doesn't see him and they don't know him. Because they're not seeking him. It's not that God's keeping the Holy Spirit from them. We read that if you being a father know how to give good gifts or good things to your own children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God's not keeping the Holy Spirit from them. They're not seeking him. They're not looking for him. Purpose. And listen, I've been around 20 plus years, but I have the purpose in my heart to seek the Holy Spirit all the time. When I open the Word, you know, I read the Word as if I've never read it before. Here we go, Lord. That's what you got for me today. Because we've all read it. We've been all been students of the Word. We've all read it many times. But God, I said it to this way once, that to the degree that you desire, to the degree that you seek, is the degree that you'll receive. What amount of effort that you're putting into knowing your rights and privileges of being a Christian. Am I just a Christian to plunk my money in the bucket and sit in the chair? No, I'm not. I have a lot of rights, a lot of privileges. And I need to learn about them. And it's I need to learn and enforce my authority, because some of them things the enemy's trying to keep from me and keep from others. And he has no business doing, because we're the law officers in the spirit realm for the kingdom of heaven. And I know that sounds like, man, you're saying you can just, you know, enforce God's law. And well, God gave us that dominion to do those very things. God said, you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. If somebody doesn't go and lay hands on them or go and pray for them, how? God's not doing anything unless he does it through one of us who take courage. He told Joshua 3 times in Joshua 1, take courage. Only take courage. Only be strong. Only take courage. And he'd be saying the same thing to us. Listen, words, okay? In Joshua it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Okay? That's not saying that you're not speaking it. That's saying just the opposite. That's what you need to be speaking. That's what that verse is saying. That's what you need. Because if you're speaking that, okay, I'm trying to get this out because I was kind of dwelling on this through the week. If you're speaking God's word, or are you listening to the enemy who says, who do you think you are? You think you can make a difference? Do you really believe that stuff you're studying? Do you really believe you can lay? And he's always whispering to us. But God says, this word shall not depart. Don't say what the devil's whispering in your ear. Don't say I can't. Listen, all of you out there, don't say I can't get up here and minister behind this pulpit. Because I believe you all can. I believe you all can. You're all carrying something. God says every time we come together, everyone has a psalm, has a hymn, has a prophecy, has a word. You're all sons and daughters of God, and I truly believe that. And it's a variety, because it's going to come packaged different from each individual. It's not going to be the same thing. So if we look at the same chapter 15 and verse 26. We'll back up to 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. This is in red, so Jesus was speaking to his disciples. But not only was Jesus speaking to his disciples, Jesus is speaking this right now. He's speaking it again today. The word goes on and abides and lives forever. So right now, again, Jesus is saying, these things I'm speaking to you. But the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So you come to church Sunday, pastor's giving a good message, and you go home through the week, and the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. He's bringing things to your remembrance. He's revealing things to us. He wants us. God wants us to know this word. God wants us to have an understanding of it. God wants us to operate in the authority of the believer. That's his desire for us. That's his commandment to us. And the commandment is not grievous. If you look at 15 and verse 12, and this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's when you can walk away from frustrated people in love and just keep on loving them. Because now you're loving them as the Father loved me. I had to work through some stuff. I had to discipline my flesh according to my spirit man. I'm not going to let it bother me, Lord. I know you love them. I know you're working on everybody. I call it growing pains. Everybody's growing. Everybody's in a different place. And God loves them all. God's not up here trying to chase anybody off. He's trying to lure them and draw them closer. He wants to wrap his arms around them like we sang in the song. He's a good, good father. He's a good, good father. So, words. Words. And, oh, see, the thing is sometimes, as I'm going over this, what I was going to say tonight, I know that. Easy. Be pliable. You know, be pliable. Let God stretch you. Because you don't know all there is to know about any one given scripture in that Bible. None of us do. There's so much more in there. You don't know everything in it. Well, I do that. Well, I watch my tongue. Well, I only say good things. Yeah, but are you doing the rest of what the book says to do? Where's your love walk? I mean, you're expecting to receive all the goodness and all the blessings of God because you said it, but you got the talk. Again, we're going back to words. You got the talk, but what about your walk? What about what God's seeing? No matter who else is seeing it, what's God seeing? I mean, people will see it too, and if they're mature Christians, you know, they'll walk in love with you and they'll put up with some stuff and just love on you. Because that's what God wants us to do. Listen, I'm not telling on anybody. I love people. I love God. And I want to say what he wants me to say. I've seen people who have been in the church for 20 plus 30 years who get offended over a simple little thing like, well, I can't believe they didn't put that napkin in the rubbish. Well, who cares? Why do you got to let that frustrate you? You haven't learned. Smith Wigglesworth disciplined his body. He wasn't going to get frustrated. He loved that hat. He saved up and paid a lot of money for that hat. And when that went in the pond, the river or whatever it was, okay, well, praise the Lord. He did not allow frustration. Don't allow people to push your buttons. Because the enemy will use people in the church to grow you up. There's a purpose for it, folks. And once we learn that there's a purpose for it, we can take it a lot lighter. Say, okay, God, I know. I'm growing through all this. You know? So we practice our love walk. So I just wanted to get two scriptures, and we're going to get out of here early. Proverbs 12:2, and this is about words. Proverbs 12 and verse 2. Some of the students of the class have heard this scripture, but we're going to go over it again tonight. Proverbs 12:2 says, and I'm going to try to shed a little light on this scripture, because you may not get the meaning of it just by reading the words on the page. But when you study the Word of God and you begin putting this scripture with that scripture, and that one fits with this one, and this one flows with that one, and those go together, you begin to see the Bible in a more expanded way. It all comes into one. You know, Jesus said that in John 17:23, I in them and you in me, that they might become one, or be made perfect in one, be matured, be grown up. You ain't going to be grown up if you're not in him. Not just because you think you're in him. Are you really in him? Are you practicing? Are you disciplining your flesh? It's the little foxes. Jesus said, well, beware of them little foxes, them little things that sneak in there and cause damage to your walk with him. It's those little things that you let frustrate you and get under your skin that affect your overall walk with God. See, and you're going to have to pay for them citations that we talked about earlier. You're going to have to pay for it because you got to learn. You keep going around the desert because you didn't learn. I got to get this. I really got to work on this love walk, because by me working on my love walk is what's paying for them citations. I'm paying for them with love. By learning, by growing. I know that sounds silly, folks, but it really, I'm telling you, there's some truth to it. There really is. You know, we got to pay for it. We got to learn to love. And it's not always easy. You know, and then we have our flesh to deal with. Our flesh gets tired sometimes, and I worked all day, and now I got to, you know, I mean, sometimes it's a challenge to say, okay, flesh. We're going with God, and we're going to do it the way he wants to do it. And you're not, get in the back seat, I'm driving. Sometimes you got to tell that flesh, get in the back seat, I'm driving. Listen, I'm going to read this scripture. I got something I want to say to you, though. Remind me. I got something really good that I want to say to you, because I think you're going to like it. But let's do this. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood. But the mouth of the upright will deliver them. That's kind of a hard scripture. Lord, what's that talking about? Talking about your words. Talking about your words. The words of the wicked speak things to their own hurt. Sickness, disease, heartache, heartbreak, disappointment, discouragement. With their mouth. They're destroying their own lives with their own mouth by things that they're saying. But the mouth of the upright will deliver them. What's the upright saying? You know, my brother Ricky, or I'll just love him. He's a good guy. My brother Ronnie, you know, I'm praying for them. I'm their cheerleader. Jesus is my cheerleader, and he wants me to be your cheerleader. So I'm just cheering you on. You can do it, Ronnie. You can do it, Ricky. We can all do this together. We can all encourage one another. Comfort when we need comfort. You know? We can do this. So our words are important. And, of course, we're all very, very familiar with Proverbs 18. I mean, we hear it preached all the time, Proverbs 18 and 21. You can start in 20. A man's stomach shall be filled from the fruit of his mouth. Your digestive system is very important to you. It's very important to you. You want that thing functioning and operating the way that God intended it to operate. And guess what? Your words will affect that too. It says so right here. I'm just saying what the word says. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life from the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Well, I know those scriptures. I say good things. I don't say wrong things about yourself. What are you saying about others? Are you letting them get under your skin? Yeah, there's people that need some growing up, but they're never going to grow up if you're not loving on them. If you're criticizing them, judging them, just, I'm not talking to them anymore. I can't believe they talk to me like that. No, you can't do that, because then you don't give them the opportunity to see God, to see Jesus. Jesus is in us. He lives in us. If we want the world to see Jesus, we got to be good representatives of who he is. And he is who he says he is in this word. And that's it, but I want to share this with you. And you, listen, I know you students already know it, but I've heard this a long time, but I just came across a new thing that I didn't hear. The law in the Hebrew is called the Torah. And the word Torah in the Hebrew means teaching or instruction. Puts a whole different spin on law, doesn't it? Teaching and instruction. This is believers' instruction before leaving earth, Bible. Believers' instruction before leaving earth. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for tonight.